Hello, all you trapaholics out there. This is Clint Locklear with a rant. And I'm just amazed. Sometimes things happen that you just kind of notice the way people are around you. And it just makes you wonder. Now, part of the problem with wondering is I've been driving all over Tarnation since back going to shows all the way up to New York. Me and Cindy went out in the Finger Lakes and bought and drank way too much wine. But I did find an awesome meadery up there. But we drove down to Ohio, then we drove home. And so you got a lot of time, especially when you're driving a great big old thing like an RV and big old windscreens in front of you, and you just kind of thinking and playing these things out. So that's kind of where this got started. Now, my question is to you, are you a Ferrari trapper and a person, or are you a dump truck? Have you ever thought about it in those terms? What the difference of those really are? May not be the best example, but I think you'll get where I'm going with this here in a second. Now, before we get into this, I want to thank our sponsors, Funky Trap Tags and Supply, Alan, his gorgeous wife, Jody, our sponsors for Just For The Rant. They supply everything. They're a part of the Fur Brigade. They're at shows. I know they're going to be in Nebraska. They just had a really good show in Iowa. So you can get discounts online or at the shows. You can get their stuff at Amazon, Bonanza, Walmart, on their store at Hilltop Outdoors. Really good guys, really honest guys. They got a great shipping department, so they get stuff out there fast. And just somebody that you want to know as a trapper in the trapping industry. Now that's a fact. So our sponsor, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. I want to use an example that I read about in a book about Hell Week. Hell Week, for you guys that aren't into such things, it's about week 4 or 5 of Bud's training, which is how you become a SEAL. It's one of the things that most people don't survive. Not so much because of physical, but because of mental, and it makes you quit. And Hell Week, if you don't know what it is, go look it up. It doesn't seem like it's possible for any human being to pass that, but somehow every class, there's about 20 guys that suck, you know, that finish it out of about 200, and they are absolute stud muffins. Not so much physically, athletically, and all that, but mentally. They are mental stud muffins. So I want you to think about the cold Pacific Ocean off of San Diego. Water's about 50-something degrees. It's middle of Hell Week. It's about day 3. And actually, one of the things that they do to give the guys a rest, if you can believe this, is boat races. Now, boats in the Navy SEALs, when they're through training, or these like these old World War II things, have hard bottoms. They're inflatable. And they weigh several hundred pounds. They make them run around post with them on their heads and carrying them, and they make them eat MREs, and they can't let it touch the ground. It's just a torture device is what it is, basically. It's just a one form or another beating them guys to the ground. But they do float, and they teach them how to paddle and navigate at night and do go through the surf and land on rocks, which usually gets a bunch of guys' legs broken. The boat is not something that they absolutely feel affection for by the time they get out of Bud's training. I promise you that. But I want you to think, water out there is normally in the 50s. It's cold. You haven't slept but 1 hour in 3 days. And you've done PT, physical training. I mean, just if you think that you're tough, just start doing push-ups and call me in 72 hours. Let me see how you're doing and only sleep 1 hour and, not a good time. So mentally, you're broke down. Physically, you're broke down, and you're right on the edge of all the time of going to ring that bell and quitting Bud's training. So out in the 56, 57 degree water, you got big swells, you got surf, you're tired, you're hungry, you're sore, you've got what they call Bud's butt, which is where you do so many sit-ups on concrete that you just have open wounds all over your body, and you're in salt water and you're getting infected. I mean, it's just unreal what these guys go through. But part of SEAL training is a phrase that we hear in movies all the time, and it sounds really cool. It pays to be a winner. Now, to me and you, that sounds really cool. But what that means then, guys, in the class, is that if you're not a winner, the instructors are going to beat you into mental submission with more PT. Now, if you win, you get the pleasure of what they call butts to nuts. Butts to nuts is you're about 2 degrees off of being hypothermia, and they let you huddle up like grown men really shouldn't huddle up, but to have any body warp from one to the other, no one cares about the sexual preference of butts to nuts. Any heat at all is accepted. But that's normally what happens. If you win something, it pays to be a winner. You go and you get to get butts to nuts out of the surf. You get a little bit of rest, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and you get a little bit of body warmth between men, and it's kind of like the way they describe it is absolute heaven. Just to get a 15-minute break and to feel some body heat from another human being. So it pays to be a winner. So there's a lot of stress going on because you got 4, 5, sometimes 6 boat crews. Only one of them's going to win. That means you're going to have all those other guys that are going to get beat into submission as a lesson that you always finish first. Kind of be neat if our schools taught that today. But anyway, there was a boat crew that was winning every single race. Now, at the beginning of every one of these boat crews, you have an officer. The SEALs, it's very different in training where it's not just like lieutenants. It could be a captain. It could be whatever their rank is, but it's an officer. He leads the boat crew. He's in control of the boat crew. It's his job to organize and motivate and make sure everything's going right. He is the leader of the boat crew. And this team is winning every single time. Now, there's also a boat crew that's losing every single time. They've got an officer. They've got hardened, steely men, just like the other ones do. They've had the same training. They've been through the same exercises, but they're coming in way last every time. Now, the difference is, and this is where the difference between being a Ferrari and a dump truck comes in just a little bit. Ferrari's kind of pretty, sounds good, goes really fast. You don't want to drive it in the rain. You don't want to have it on a bumpy road. It's not very fun in traffic because of the way you got to get your RPMs up. But it's something in a very specific thing that can do a very specific task, and it's pretty. It's not practical, it's pretty. And then you got dump trucks. They're kind of ugly, they're loud, they got very low gears, they can carry a lot of weight, they can go through a lot of stuff, they get stuff done. You know what a Ferrari gets done? Makes your buddies jealous maybe, pick you up a girl, but it don't really get anything done. America wasn't built on Ferraris, guys, it's built with dump trucks. Or think 18-wheelers, bulldozers, excavators, something that actually gets something done. See, leaders, whether it's for you or for a team, you're either going to be a Ferrari or you're going to be a dump truck. You're going to have that low gear and you're going to be able to get something done. The leader of the boat crew that was winning every single race, he was getting something done. They weren't athletes better than the other boat crew, because that's the way we as Americans think. Well, they're stronger, they're faster, they're better rested. They'll come up with all these excuses, especially leaders. I mean, leaders today don't know what leadership means and why they teach in college. I have no idea, because the professors sure as crap don't know nothing about leadership. But the other boat crew, they're losing bad every single race. Now, at this particular class at Bud's, there was a guy that was coming back from Afghanistan, and his job was to train officers. He wasn't really training officers at this class, but he was watching the class to figure out how he could come up with an SOP to actually train SEAL leaders, SEAL officers, to be better leaders. And one of the old crusty Master Chiefs, which is enlisted, that's been around forever and actually makes the Navy go round and makes stuff work, he said, watch this. He was talking to the officer that was going to be the trainer. He went over and he called the two boat crew leaders over. He said, now you have control of that boat crew. The one that is winning is going to the losing boat crew, and the losing boat crew leader gets the winning boat crew. Now, the leader that went from the winning boat crew wasn't exactly happy with this, but the winner of the one that was from the losing boat crew thought this was awesome because he just thought he was going to win. And they went back and they had a few minutes to talk things over with the boat crew, and they start the next race. It pays to be a winner. Everybody takes off at the same time. What blew the officer away that was there to train the officers was that the boat crew that was not just a little bit last, but a lot last, won the next evolution, the next race. The boat crew that was been winning this whole time came in second. How in the world would just changing the officer make that big a difference? Well, if you were to go back in time, you would see that everybody in the losing boat crew was cussing and screaming and blaming and feeling sorry for themselves and kind of doing their own thing, and everybody thought they knew the best way. Everybody is bitching about this, that, and the other, but there wasn't really any solutions going on. The good boat crew leader, on the other hand, organized, set a mission, explained the mission, explained how were they going to win, and convinced his guys that they were going to win, and by God, they did win. Now, the culture from the winning boat crew, even though now they had a terrible leader, was still high enough that they could come in second. But they couldn't beat the losing boat crew because now they had the leader that understood what leadership was. The leader from the original losing boat crew was a Ferrari. I'm sure in perfect situations he could play leader. The original leader of the winning boat crew was a dump truck. He got stuff done. It wasn't just for looks, and it just wasn't because of the amazing physicality of his winning boat crew. It was because of the leader. Now you may be thinking, what's this have to do with trapping? Think about that the next time you get disorganized, or you start turning into, and I'm going to say this gently, and if this offends anybody, I just don't know what else to call this, so I want to go ahead and apologize to Alan, our sponsor, before I use this term, but before you become a non-gendered whiny bitch, think about the boat crew leaderships. Because see, like I've said before, guys, you're the CEO of your own company. You're your own leader. You have to decide what you're going to do on a day-to-day basis, whether it be trapping with your family, within business, or as an employee. You are your own leader. You can be a bad one, or you can be a good one. But the lessons from those boat crews, very simply put, was the one that bitched all the time and complained all the time and was trying to show why they weren't winning and why the leadership wasn't that good, lost every single time. The leader that took responsibility, laid out the mission, explained the mission, organized the mission, and had a reason for what they were doing, which is to go butts to nuts as soon as they could so they get their 15 minutes of rest and a little bit of body heat. He implied that to the crew. Now you as an individual, that is still the same as it is if you're a leader of a group. When I was down at the school, yeah, I was playing leader. It was my school with my name, with my contracts, with my agreements with the ranches, with my agreements with the students, all that type stuff. No one went to get any type of real, what are we going to do from anybody else? It was all on me. Either it ran smooth or it didn't. It was on me. Everything was on me at that. Now, it went before I started doing the school and before I started going down to Texas with other people. It was just me. I'd go down there by my lonesome. Now, there wasn't anybody to go, well, man, this dish is crap. You know, the roads ain't good and this, that, and other, and the weather's bad, and yada, 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 yada. No. I had to treat myself as a team and be a leader to myself. And if I started bitching and whining and feeling sorry for myself and all the stuff that happens when you're out on the line, if you let it, you start falling apart. Things start getting worse. You start griping and groaning more. You start feeling more sorry for yourself. And it's like you train yourself to be a loser. Or you can be a winner because it pays to be a winner. What is the difference when a lot of guys go trapping and some in the same area with the same equipment with the same populations of animals come out with a lot more animals? They have the same amount of time, everything. What's the difference? One of them, I guarantee you, goes into whiny mode and complaining mode, and the other one goes into mission mode. Mission mode is just very simply, you know what you're doing, you've got a reason for it, and you're going to complete that mission. Now, the interesting thing about military, which if you're not in the military, this is probably going to seem corny to you. You get a mission when you're in the military. It's the leader's obligation to explain what the mission is and why it's important. Because if you don't have buy-in from your team, you're wasting your time because it goes into, just chaos, basically. But if everybody understands what it is, you get it done. So individuals can do the same thing. The reason that I could get away with making a living in trapping back in the early 90s when fur was less than it is now is because I understood the mission, I accepted that mission, and I had a reason for doing that mission. But the main thing, guys, the main thing is I accepted the responsibility to find solutions to match that mission. Let me say that again. It was my responsibility, not my wife's, not NAFTA's, not my state organization, nobody else. Not the game wardens, not the thieves, not your competition, not the tooth fairy or unicorn. It was my responsibility to find solutions. See, the guys that always catch more fur, they find solutions. That's part of their deal. They actually, get off on it. I've had times been in a canoe where I got in some serious situations. Instead of getting mad and throwing a fit, I look at it as a challenge. It changes the perspective. If you're having low fur numbers, you got to find a solution. If your sets are going in too slow, it's up to you to find a solution. Google is not going to help you in that situation, because most of the internet is fake and it's showing up from a perfect situation to begin with. You have to be the solution to your mission. That's the complete opposite of the lack of complete ownership that we talked about last time. It almost has to turn into a game where you understand what the problem is that is stopping you from meeting your mission. And then you have to figure out a solution. If you've ever watched any of the SEAL movies or read a bunch of the SEAL books or Ranger books or SF books or anything, they're always in the middle of a firefight and somebody's got a skill set of some kind, and the leader comes back and goes, we need to get out of here, find a solution. That guy's got to find a solution. What do you want me to do about it, man? It ain't my fault we're in here, man. No. He goes and finds a solution. See, that's very, very different than the way most people think on a day-to-day basis, because we're in blame mode all the time. It's never our fault. It's somebody else's fault. Our situation doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with somebody else. Now, I'm going to say something that may make somebody mad because I don't know him, and I don't mean to be mean because I don't know the situation. We just had, come in, Travis. I'm doing the rant. Come over and sit down. You can give an amen every now and then if you feel like it.
I got you.
We just did, I didn't. Tim did a radio show with a guy talking about poaching deer. Is that my keys?
Yeah.
All right. And I went in and did a add-on to his show notes to explain what that was and why that was on there, and that it wasn't, we weren't condoning trapping. See, from someone that is mission orientated and looks at everything as their individual way, if you listen to that show, you can come about that from two different ways. He had a financial problem and he fixed it with poaching for feeding his kids. That's one way to look at it. That is a solution. It's not a safe solution. Poaching's not safe, is it?
Amen.
Okay. The other solution might have been a different way of planning ahead, so when you don't have the money to buy the foods, you've already laid up extra deer, extra beaver, extra rice, whatever it is that you eat ahead of time before that. That's what a good leader does. Those are two different solutions, but they're definitely solutions. But you have to come up and understand that it's your job to be completely in control of whatever your mission is, and it's only your job to figure out how to make that work. That you, the solution fixer is no one else in the world but you. Do you agree, Travis?
Yes, sir.
Do you even know what we're talking about?
Not at all.
Okay, amen. So, I'm going to end this with don't be a whiny, non-gendered bitch. And the reason I wanted that I use that word because I don't know of any other way to do it. I got tickled. I was talking to a company about 2 months ago, and when they give a job interview, they actually use the word bitch like 10 times to an interviewee at this company. And they end it with, do you know what someone is that's always bitching? And the person's looking at them in utter shock at this interview. And they go, if someone's always bitching about stuff, that means they're a bitch. And we don't like bitches in our company. And most of the people will get up and leave. But the company at that point knows they've got rid of the right person. And if someone sits there and agrees with them, they got a chance that they've got the right person now. So don't be a whiny bitch. The reason that's important, if you're an employee, whiny bitches do not ever fix problems. Whiny bitches just complain. Whiny bitches have every reason in the world why something doesn't work. Whiny bitches can have a thousand ways why something is going to be a failure, but they never have the solution. I'm going to give you a few reasons why you don't want to be the whiny bitch. One is if you're an employee I'm looking at right now, people that come up with solutions, Travis, and don't whine, make more money. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because why are you going to pay someone that's just going to bitch?
There's no sense in doing that.
None whatsoever. So if you're struggling with money and you're an employee, you need to check yourself. Are you being a whiny bitch and a complainer? Because if you are, that's probably the reason you're not making more money. I'm not saying that about you. You just had to walk in at the same time.
I was about to ask. No.
Actually, you're pretty good about that. If you're a husband, it is your responsibility to be the leadership of that and have a better marriage, which means you can't blame your wife all the time. That may sting to some people. A leadership role means you take leadership responsibilities. That doesn't mean that you're over or can abuse or look down on your wife because she's not the quote leader. That's goofy. But if she's going to be the leader, then you need to be the follower. But one of y'all's got to be the leader and the follower. Like between me and Travis, Travis is a leader and I follow everything he says.
No.
But in a family, the leader has to take responsibility, which means it's your job to come up with solutions. Food, shelter, water, security, that's all on you. That you're the only one that's going to be able to figure that out. Trappers can either be a whiny bitch or they can be a solution finder. The ones that find solutions are the ones that make more money. The ones that find solutions catch more fur. The ones that complain and bitch and moan all the time and is always just gossiping and doing all that stuff, you're not as valuable to yourself as a trapper because you're kind of going down the loser road a little bit and you need to be more on the winner side because it pays to be a winner. And that goes in trapping too. Businesses, all kind of business leaders that I've talked to that have small businesses, they can tell me every reason that it's not working. And a lot of time, well, it's just the market. No, the market is actually the compilation of what's going on with you and the customer. So if the market's that there, it's not the market's fault, it's your fault. Or you just picked a really dumb product. Well, there again, it's your fault. So, as a business owner for someone that's going to come up with their own revenue streams, it's totally up to you, and you can't let yourself go down the whiny bitch road, because if you do, you're not going to be a winner, you're going to be a loser. Because what else can happen to someone that bitches? Can they be a winner if you bitch? Mm-mm. What positive comes from bitching, Travis?
Nothing. It's just a waste of time.
But it makes you feel worse and bitch more, don't it?
I guess it just, you keep on and keep on and keep on, it don't help nothing.
Doesn't help anything. So the difference between those two leaders we talked about in the boat crew is one was a Ferrari when everything was blue skies and smooth roads, he could perform. The other leader that could perform with both boat crews was the dump truck. He's the one that had the low gear and could get stuff done. Which one are you? Any last words, Travis, before we get to work?
I'd like to be the Ferrari. They get the ladies.
Help me, people. Help me.
Was that not the right answer?
No, that was not the right answer. Ferraris don't get anything done.
Yeah, but they get the ladies.
You need to listen to the podcast.
I gotcha.
All right. See y'all later.